Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, October 30th. FBI issues notice on threat to buses. Early Sunday evening, Hector County ISD sent a message to parents regarding children who ride buses each day. Late Friday night, ECISD police received notice from the FBI office in El Paso about a threat toward buses. It was a broad threat that did not name any city or town as a target. In investigating over the weekend, it was found that the call came from Southern California and again did not specify a city, nor did it say anything about ECISD in the threat. However, the anonymous caller attributed the threat to the same Odessa man as last week's elementary school threat. Law enforcement does not view this as a credible threat, and ECISD will continue to work with local, state, and federal agencies on this investigation, the message said. ECISD police officers have been actively addressing the situation by patrolling the district's bus barn around the clock through the weekend, by having our canine units physically sweep every bus for anything suspicious. We will continue to do so. All ECISD buses are scheduled to run regular routes at regular times unless new information is found. Quote, "The safety of our staff and your children is our first concern, and ECISD will take all precautions available to us to keep everyone safe," the message stated. Mojo Band marches on to state. The story was written by Ruth Campbell. The Permian High School Marching Band captured the UIL Area Championship last weekend in El Paso. The top three in this competition advanced, meaning the Mojo Marching Band qualified for the UIL State Marching Contest for the third year in a row. In fact, Permian High School is already bound for San Antonio and this week's state contest. On a related note, the Odessa High School Marching Band also earned a record 84th consecutive Division I rating at the District Marching Contest. Top cause of pediatric death has changed. The story was written by Carol A. Cates, Chief Nursing Officer, Odessa Regional Medical Center. In the 30-plus years I have been a nurse, some things have changed dramatically. For instance, much of the cardiac and vascular surgery that used to mean huge open incisions in the chest and abdomen when I was a young nurse are now done by tiny incisions in the legs and arms. People used to stay for several weeks in the hospital for many conditions, and while we still have a few people who stay in the hospital for a long time, the vast majority of people are discharged within a few days. Overall, the reasons people are hospitalized hasn't really changed much. It's how we treat them that has changed. Heart and vascular disease have been the number one cause of hospitalization and death overall since before I was in nursing school. Trauma and cancer overall have always been in the top five reasons for hospitalization and death in my career. Outside of the COVID pandemic, I cannot remember the last time there was a change in the major causes of hospitalization and death in the U.S. That is, until just now. Motor vehicle collisions, or MVCs, have been the leading cause of death in kids for as long as I can remember. But this year, that changed. The leading causes of death in kids are now gun injuries, and drug overdoses, primarily related to mental health issues. In one study, researchers looked at fatal and non-fatal injuries in children under 18 from 2011 to 2021. They found that non-fatal injuries have decreased, but fatal injuries have increased. The drivers were guns, whose death rate increased by 87% during those 10 years, and drug overdoses, whose death rate increased by a terrifying 133%. Injuries not resulting in death, resulting from self-harm, rose 57%. The poison control system is seeing an increasing trend in kids with not just prescription and illegal opiate deaths, but in deaths from common over-the-counter medications such as ibuprofen and acetaminophen. Antidepressant overdoses are also becoming more common in kids. The increases in gun deaths are also largely related to self-harm. In a recent study by the Pew Research Center, the number of kids killed by gunfire was higher in 2021 than in any year since the data first started being collected. Homicides accounted for 60% of those deaths, 32% were death by suicide, and the remainder were accidental deaths. The experts believe that the rise in gun and drug-related deaths is because we were already facing a mental health crisis in kids, and the pandemic made it worse. The researchers believe that the increases are happening because kids are impulsive, and when they are suicidal and depressed and have access to drugs or guns, they don't get the opportunity to regret their decision or seek treatment because their one attempt is a lethal attempt. I do not want anyone to think I am preaching about gun control or how you run your home when it comes to medications. What I do want to make sure of is that you are aware of the risks so you can make informed decisions about guns, drugs, and your family's safety. Data suggests that while the rate of gun ownership in households with kids has remained steady since the 1970s, one of the things that has changed is the rate of safe gun storage. In a 2018 survey published in the American Journal of Public Health, more than half of gun owners with kids in the household did not safely store all of their guns. Safe storage is for drugs, too. Kid safety caps were introduced decades ago and made a huge impact on accidental poisonings in small children. However, child safety caps don't work for older kids, and there are not really any mechanical preventions that can be put in place to keep them out of older kids' hands. Because of these issues, poisoning experts recommend limiting the quantities of non-prescription drugs you keep in the home, don't buy in bulk, and consider keeping them secured under lock and key. Poisoning and overdose experts also highly recommend that everyone needs to keep naloxone or Narcan nasal spray in the home because it can reverse an opiate overdose. Finally, if you are concerned your child may be depressed or suicidal, please, please reach out for help. Permia Care is our local resource for mental health in the Permian Basin. You can call them at 1-800-420-3964. You can also speak to your primary care provider or your pediatrician. If you have an emergency event where someone is actively threatening suicide or has attempted suicide, please call 911, go to the nearest emergency room, or call the Suicide Prevention Hotline at 988. I am beyond thrilled that MVCs aren't the leading cause of death in kids anymore, but I really wish the statistic replacing it wasn't the increase in gun and drug deaths in kids related to the mental health crisis. Please talk to your loved ones about their mental health just like you would about their physical health. The safety of our kids is worth the uncomfortable conversation. Be ready to save a life. Understanding the two steps of hands-only CPR. Every year, 350,000 people die from cardiac arrest in the United States. However, hands-on emergency intervention like cardiopulmonary resuscitation or CPR from a bystander can make the difference between life and death in sudden cardiac arrest emergencies. In fact, immediate CPR can double or triple a cardiac arrest victim's chances of survival, according to the American Heart Association. During the first few minutes an individual is suffering from cardiac arrest, chest compressions can help keep blood flow active and push remaining oxygen through the body to keep vital organs alive, which extends the opportunity for a successful resuscitation once trained medical staff arrive. Because 88% of cardiac arrests, electrical malfunctions in the heart that can cause an irregular heartbeat, arrhythmia, or disrupt the flow of blood to the brain, lungs, and other organs, occur at home, it is often a friend or family member who witnesses a child, spouse, parent, or friend going into cardiac arrest. As survival can depend on how quickly CPR is started, compression-only CPR, or hands-only CPR, is recommended for use by people who see a teen or adult suddenly collapse in an out-of-hospital setting, such as at home, work, or in a park. Quote, "By equipping people with hands-only CPR training, we are empowering them to spring into action if a loved one needs help, as the majority of cardiac arrests occur at home," said Dr. Anisi Uzendu, interventional cardiologist and American Heart Association volunteer. As part of the World Restart a Heart Day initiative, the American Heart Association aims to increase awareness about the importance of bystander CPR through its hands-only CPR campaign, nationally supported by the Elevance Health Foundation, and offers these two simple steps. 1. Call 911 or send someone to do that. 2. Push hard and fast in the center of the chest of the individual experiencing cardiac arrest. Using the beat of a familiar song with 100 to 120 beats per minute, such as Stayin' Alive by the Bee Gees, can help you stay on pace with the necessary compressions. Quote, "Being able to efficiently perform hands-on CPR in the moment can mean the difference between life and death, and by following these two simple steps, we can increase someone's chance of survival from cardiac arrest," said Shantanu Agrawal, board-certified emergency medicine doctor and chief health officer at Elevance Health. Quote, "As a long-standing supporter of the American Heart Association, we remain focused on working together to improve health inequities in our communities by expanding access to training and increasing the number of people who learn and feel confidence performing hands-only CPR to save lives." To find more information and resources, visit heart.org/CPR. 6 links in the adult out-of-hospital chain of survival. When properly executed, a strong chain of survival or series of actions can improve the chances of survival and recovery for victims of sudden cardiac arrest. Hands-only CPR is a critical step in the American Heart Association chain of survival, which also includes activations of emergency response, recognize symptoms of cardiac arrest, and call 911. high-quality CPR. Push hard and fast in the center of the victim's chest until emergency personnel arrive. Defibrillation. Use an automated external defibrillator, or an AED, to restart the victim's heart and reset it to a healthy rhythm. Advanced resuscitation. Medical professionals provide additional life-saving medical services. Post-cardiac arrest care. Transport victim to an appropriate hospital or treatment facility to optimize survival, organ function, and neurological recovery. Recovery. Survivors receive additional treatment, observation, rehabilitation, and psychological support to aid in recovery and help prevent recurrent cardiac arrest.
Obituaries. Stanley Richard Dickey Dickerson, age 79, of Glendale, Texas, passed away on Monday, October the 23rd. A visitation for Dickey will be held Tuesday, October 31st, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home, 601 North Allegheny Avenue in Odessa. A funeral service will occur Wednesday, November the 1st, at Crossroads Church, 6901 East Highway 191 in Odessa. Juanita Armaderas, age 88, of Odessa, died Tuesday, October the 17th, in Odessa. Funeral service will be held at 2 p.m. Thursday, November the 2nd, at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Burial will follow at Redford Cemetery in Redford, Texas. Cecilia Ann Seeky Bledsoe, age 64, of Odessa, died Wednesday, October the 18th, in Odessa. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Benny Faye Lawson, age 80, of Odessa, died Saturday, October the 21st, in Odessa. Celebration of life will be held at 2 p.m. Wednesday, November the 1st, at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Antonio Rodriguez Munoz, age 61, of Odessa, died Sunday, October the 22nd, in Odessa. The funeral service was held at 12 p.m. on October the 28th at the American Heritage Funeral Home. Helen Ray Davis, better known to all as Granny, entered into eternity on October the 23rd in Odessa. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. Catherine Lynn Rhodes Marshall, age 67, of Odessa, died Thursday, October the 19th, in Odessa. Memorial service will be held at 2 p.m. Friday, November the 3rd, at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Carol Louise Sims Fessenden, age 69, of Odessa, died Friday, October the 13th, in Odessa. Celebration of life will be held at 10 a.m. Saturday, October the 28th, at the Acres West Funeral Chapel. Richard Allen Wheeler, age 64, of Odessa, died Sunday, October the 22nd. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Some quick hits. Get out and vote. Early voting continues through November the 3rd. Important election dates include November the 3rd, the last day of early voting, and November the 7th, Election Day. Polls open 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Mental health support. Fresh Hope Mental Health Support Group will begin meeting on the first and third Mondays of each month at 6:30 p.m. on November the 6th at Tanglewood Baptist Church, 3737 Tanglewood Lane. The groups are peer-led for those with a diagnosis and for their loved ones. Call 432-638-1847 for more information. Celebrate Vets, the American Legion Post 430 at 2701 East 8th Street, is hosting a ceremony celebrating all veterans. Veterans Day is dedicated to American veterans of all wars, and Veterans Day 2023 will occur on Saturday, November the 11th. In 1918, on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, an armistice or temporary cessation of hostilities was declared between the Allied nations and Germany in World War I, then known as the Great War. The ceremony will be held at the Freedom Flame, located at the main entrance onto Post 430, and will begin promptly at the 11th hour of the 11th day of November. The guest speaker for this event will be Major Preston A. Perrott, U.S. Army retired. Toys for Tots Kickoff Car Show. Toys for Tots has scheduled a kickoff car show from 9:15 a.m. to 3:15 p.m. November the 4th at Walk-Ons, 7280 East Highway 191.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.